Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love. Thank you that we are your beloved children. As we come to you this morning, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, we pray that you speak to us. The blood of Jesus cover us so that we don't have any distraction from Satan, and our heart can focus to you. Lord, we pray that as we read your scripture, the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, translate your own words into our hearts, so that we can hear you. So Lord, we commit this to you, so that you open our eyes to see how wonderful your love is, and how blessed we are as your beloved children. So Lord, we commit the time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I going to speak, I have a request. The request is as we speak and listen, please pray. Pray for me and pray for yourself, so that as we look at the scriptures, the Holy Spirit himself can translate the words into our hearts, so that we can hear the Lord. And surpassing all our limitation and inadequacy. We have been looking at the book of Ephesians for a while and finished up to the end of chapter 4. Today we are going to consider the first part of chapter 5, from verse 1 to 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. The version I'm going to use is ESV. I'm going to read it. If you like, you can read it with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. The theme I would like to give to these few verses is walk in love and purity as God's beloved children. I would like to split this session in three parts, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 to 7. Verse 1, imitate God as beloved children. Verse 2, walk in love. Verse 3 to 7, walk in purity. Let us consider verse 1, imitate God as beloved children. In verse 1, Paul said to Ephesian believers, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitator. This is a command to the Ephesian believers, to be imitators of God. Who can be imitator of God? How can man imitate God? Paul continues saying, as beloved children. Only children of God are required of this command, and only they are possible to imitate God. Previously, these Ephesians couldn't be imitators of God, because they were not children of God. As said in chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It said, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So previously, the Ephesians were dead in their trespasses and sins, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He was at work in the Ephesians who were by nature children of wrath. Not only them, the rest of mankind is like that. They were not children of God. God was not their father. For the whole mankind, there are only two ultimate fathers, God and the devil. In John chapter 8, 41 to 45, John chapter 8, verse 41 to 45, Jesus said to the Jews about these two ultimate fathers, 41, "You are doing the works your father did," they said to him. "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." In verse 41, the Jews said to Jesus that God is their father. In verse 42, Jesus said that God was not their father. If God was their father, they would love Jesus. Verse 44, Jesus continues. He said, "The devil is their father, and they belong to the devil." This father, devil, is a murderer and a liar. From the beginning, he's the father of lies, falsehood, murder, hatred, anger, and greed. Previously, these Ephesians were children of the devil, like the Jews Jesus spoke of. The devil was their father, even without their knowing, like the Jews. But now they became children of God by grace through faith in Jesus. God is their father. How about you? Who is your father? Are you children of God? Or are you children of the devil? God or devil? There is no other possibilities of choices. Please don't think, "I control my life. I don't believe in any gods. I believe in myself. I am my own God. I don't need any God. I don't want any God. I want to be my own God." The Bible tells us that if you do not have the true and living God to be your father, you are actually having a devil to be your father. Just like the Ephesians previously. They were children of disobedience. They were children of wrath. They were dead in sins and trespasses. They couldn't be imitators of God. Because this imitation is not an outward imitation, but an inward imitation, which springs out to observable outward fruits. These Ephesians, they had to become children of God, sharing God's nature in order to be imitators of God, to reflect God's character. How were the Ephesians saved from the children of the devil to become children of God? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Not by doing sufficient work to be saved, but by God's grace, through faith in Jesus. Not by our own doing, but through believing in Jesus." John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, talk about believing in Jesus. It says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." How to become children of God? Here told us that by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. The name Jesus means Savior, and the name Christ refers to the anointed King promised by God in the Old Testament. So the name of Jesus Christ means the Savior King. Believing in the name of Jesus Christ means receiving him as your personal Savior, forgiving your sins, and receiving him the King of your life. That means you decide to repent from your sins and commit yourself to Jesus and follow him for your whole life. This is trusting or receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and King. We don't need to become a better person in order to become a child of God. Actually, we can never be good enough to become children of God. If you are good enough, you don't need Jesus. We are not good, only he is good. He is the one who accomplished the salvation by the blood he shed on the cross. That's why we need to rely only on Jesus, but not ourselves. You made a commitment to follow. Follow Jesus. It doesn't mean that you have the confidence in yourself that you can keep that commitment for your whole life. It does mean that this commitment is your sincere desire and decision. You entrust your commitment to Jesus for him to keep you. Jesus will keep those who believe in him. If you are not yet a child of God, do you want to be a child of God? It is an urgent and important matter to become a child of God, because this impacts you greatly, this life, and also your eternity. It is an urgent and important matter to stop being a child of the devil. He is not a good father. He is a murderer and a liar. You should run away from him to have God to be your father as soon as possible. Last night, Yvonne told me not long ago, a U.S. brother's son got married. And 3 days later, the bridegroom, the son, felt uncomfortable and was admitted to the hospital and died. Recently, sister told me that her cousin has just unexpectedly found out to have a brain cancer. He's in his 20s and just got married a few months ago. The doctor said he might only have a couple of months to live. Life is not under our control. I do hope that anyone who not yet have God to be your father can believe in Jesus today. As long as we have today, believe in Him. Seek Him. God promised through Apostle John in verse 12, we just read that, to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. John continued in verse 13, the children of God were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This person has new life given from God when he received Jesus. He becomes a child of God. This new life in him causes him to have new attitudes and tastes, feeling towards Jesus and sins. In the past, he was not interested in Jesus. He didn't decide to know him, but now he does. He wants to know him more. When he knows him more, he will be attracted to know more of his love and his holiness and desire him more. In the past, he didn't have much bad feeling on sins. He even enjoyed sin. But now he feels bad and ashamed of his sins. He wants to get rid of his sins, running away from his sins. When he sins, he wants Jesus' blood to forgive his sins and cleanse him. These changes are not his own work. This change of attitude and taste is because the new life he received from God. This changed him. For some new believers, the changes are more obvious and the others are less obvious. Some are more dramatic, others are more gradual, like embryo gradually growing in the mother's womb. The new life will continuously grow and change you. Because of this new life, this person can share God's nature. With this new nature, he or she can start to imitate God. Only God's children can imitate God, their father. Paul not only said, imitate God as children. He said, as beloved children. The more you see you are deeply loved by God, the more you can imitate Him. For those who have been saved, become children of God. Do you know you are deeply loved by God? You are beloved children of God. How do you measure how much a person loves you? Or have you been loving someone in the past? Think of a person you have loved. How do you measure the love you have for this person? How do you know your love? And you love that person with very much love or just a little bit of love? How much God loves His children. If we are God's children, how much God loves you? Firstly, God has given us many precious spiritual blessings in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. We looked at them before. From these, we know that God loved us dearly. In verse 4, the first part, God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. For each of God's children, he or she has been chosen in Christ by God to be His child even before the foundation of the world. Even before we exist, we have been in God's heart. We have been chosen to be the object of God's everlasting love. Chosen to be His. This choice was not made by us, but by God. Jesus said to his disciple, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." If the choice is made by us, the choice will be changing and wavering. But the choice is made by God. He never changes. We are very secure. In the second part of verse 4, we should be holy and blameless before Him. Not only God chose us, He chose us in order that we can be holy and blameless. Now in this world, we sometimes sin and fight against sins. When we sin, we might feel shame of our sins. But we can repent. We don't need to be discouraged. We shouldn't give up. God eventually will accomplish His good work in us so that we can be holy and blameless. So God will succeed in transforming us to be holy and blameless for Christ. We are hopeful. Verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Not only God chose us, He predestined us to be His sons and daughters. We are loved so much that God adopted us as His precious children. Yes, we are His children. Such an honor, such a privilege. Verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We have the forgiveness of sins. All our sins can be forgiven. We don't need to bear the heavy burden of sins and guilt. In the same chapter, verse 13 to 14, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. We had the Holy Spirit given to us when we believe in Jesus. We were sealed as God's, His own, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. Wherever we go, He is with us. Even we might grieve in us for our sins, but He never forsakes us. In the future, by the Holy Spirit as the guarantee, we will have rich and glorious inheritance waiting for us to receive. We will also become God's glorious inheritance in verse 18. Unworthy men like us can one day become God's glorious inheritance. In chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship. What do you think of yourself? No matter how pitiful or how discouraged you think of yourself, God will make you to be His workmanship for His glory. We are fellow citizens in chapter 2, verse 19. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are God's people. We become brothers and sisters of the same family of God. In verse 22, we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. One day, this God's dwelling place will be filled by God and His love. Though we don't fully understand how it will be like, we know that we have a very bright and glorious future in the full presence of God. The above are some examples of the spiritual blessings from the book of Ephesians. Though we just go through these blessings quickly, it's in fact mind-blowing. They tell us what great blessings our Heavenly Father has done for us or given to us. These spiritual blessings help us to know how much we are loved. Not only that, how were all these blessings given to us?
What did God do in order to give us these blessings? We know God is very rich. He has everything. Imagine He has the treasure, His treasure warehouse, where He has 100 treasures. Did He just go to His treasure house to collect a few treasures, or a lot of treasures, or all the treasures, and gave them to us? No, much more than that. We know God is almighty and powerful. Did He just use His power to create all things, all the blessings to give it to us? No, much more than that. What greatest effort or sacrifice God made in order to give us the spiritual blessings? Not only His possessions, not only His powerful deeds. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, He said, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" God gave His only begotten Son to us. In the eyes of the Father, what else is more precious and bigger sacrifice to Him? All things which He created, or His only begotten Son? Of course, His own Son. God is even willing to sacrifice His Son in order to show us His love and bless us with spiritual blessings. How much He has loved us. God's great love to us is not only shown in how much blessings He gave us, and not only shown in how costly His sacrifice is. The greatness of God's love to us is also shown by His love is towards the unworthy and undeserved ones like us. We were His enemies. We rebel against Him. We ignore Him and His glory. We dishonor Him. We sin against Him. We were selfish. We were wicked. But He still initiated to love us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God proves His love for us through His Son, died for us while we were still sinners. What other proofs we need? What other proofs we need to see clearly that we are deeply loved by God, our Heavenly Father? We indeed are His beloved children. Since we are dearly loved by our God, Paul asked us, imitate God to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Here it is saying, imitate God as beloved children. He is not saying, imitate God in order to be God's children. It is not saying, you need to imitate God well in order to be God's beloved children. No. We can't attain the identity of beloved children of God by our good works. Paul here is saying, since we are securely beloved children of God, we should imitate God, and we can imitate God. The more we see we are deeply loved by God, the more we can imitate God. Because the more we are able to love like Christ loved us. Therefore, Paul said, be imitators of God as beloved children. How to walk in love? Paul said, as Christ loved us. Christ gave himself for us. He chose to be crucified on the cross in order to save us. On the other hand, he did it to God. He did it because he loves God. He loves his Father and submits to him. So Christ is the sacrifice not only for us, but also to God. Also, Christ is a fragrant offering to God. Fragrant means this offering is well pleased to God. It is well pleased to God because Christ is willingly doing his Father's will. Paul said, "Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us." There was a man called John Harper. He was an imitator of God as a beloved child. In April 1912, he was on the Titanic, the ship said to be the greatest ship man ever made at that time. He was heading to America to preach the gospel at Moody Church in Chicago. Unexpectedly, the Titanic collided with an iceberg in the Atlantic Ocean and began to sink. There were not enough lifeboats. John Harper refused a seat in a lifeboat, but chose to stay in the sinking ship to preach the gospel to the passengers. When he found himself in the icy water with a life jacket, floating near another man, John Harper asked, "Are you saved?" "No, I am not saved," the desperate man replied. And John Harper shouted, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Later, John Harper took off his life jacket and threw it to another person and said, "You need this more than I do." Moments later, John Harper disappeared beneath the water. 4 years later, when there was a reunion of the survivors of the Titanic, the man whom John Harper had witnessed told the story of his rescue. He gave a testimony of his conversion, recorded in a one-page tract with the title, "I Was John Harper's Last Convert." John Harper knew very clearly that he was a beloved child of God. He knew Christ gave himself up and died for him. Because of that, he can imitate God to love others as Christ loved him, even to a point to give up his life to save other sinking passengers to God's kingdom. We may not need to give up our life to die physically like John Harper, but we need to die to our old self. Give up our pride, our self-interest, our rights, for the benefit, for the welfare to the one we choose to love, as Christ loved us. I believe the reason why John Harper was able to choose to give himself up for other passenger that day is because he has been imitating God to love others through dying to his old self in his daily life. Walking in love as Christ loved us is not only referring to a heroic act of dying for others, like John Harper. It is actually a daily walk of dying to our old self for the welfare of others. If we want to walk in love as Christ loved us, we can't love others by our own nature, our own natural human love and strength. We need to draw close to Christ to receive love from him in order to love as he loved. Also, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us through God's word in order to know how to love as Christ loved. So we need to have constant fellowship with our Lord every day. In the last verse of chapter 4, verse 32, Paul said, "Be Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. We know that this verse is directly related to chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, because there is the word therefore between them. Forgiveness is a kind of love. Someone offended you, he is indebted to you. You have the right to hold him as a debtor. When you forgive him, you need to give up your right of holding the offender's debt to you. You're willing to release him as a debtor. You give grace to the offenders. God forgave us. We imitate God to forgive others. This is walking in love. Not only we need to give up our legitimate right in order to give grace to others for their welfare, sometimes we need to give up our self-interest as well. In the middle of the night, when your baby is crying, you are the one to get up for the baby or waiting for your wife to do that? When you have a spare moment at home, do you usually check with your wife to see whether there's anything you can help? Any house chores or your children? Or you go straight to the internet or read a book? Or go back to doing some work at home on your laptop? To some husbands, actually doing house chores after work might be easier for caring for the wife through listening attentively to her or praying with her. In this case, the latter requires more sacrificial love. Some fathers never say sorry or ask their children for forgiveness. Walking in love means giving up your pride to say sorry sincerely and humbly to your children. If you have exasperated them or have sinned before them, you ask them for forgiveness because you love them and you don't want to stumble them. As we learn to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting, we learn to walk in love. As we walk in love, through dying to our pride, our self-interest, and our right for the welfare of others, this act of sacrificial love is an act to the person you choose to love. On the other hand, this act of sacrificial love is a sacrifice to God. You do it for God. Sometimes your love might be misunderstood or not appreciated by the one you love. Or the one you love might not be a grateful person and they do not respond accordingly. You might even feel hurt because of that. However, this act of sacrificial love is done for God as well. Though the person doesn't know, God knows. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, "But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Because God knows, it is enough, it is worth." Not only this act of love is a sacrifice to God, it is also a frequent offering to him. It is acceptable and well-pleasing to God because it's God's will. We can give thanks to God because he enabled us to learn to imitate him, to walk in love. Not only we are imitators of God, as his beloved children, walking in love, we also walking in purity. Now we come to the third part, which is verse 3 to 7. Verse 3 to 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Not even be named doesn't mean not to talk about or discuss. The Bible talks about sexual sins, impurities and greed. The Bible talks about this to warn people from sins. The Bible also talks about holy or godly sex, purity, and contentment. Actually, parents need to talk about this with their own children according to their age, maturity, or exposure on this matter. Especially the world now is overly sexualized in a sinful way. We need to equip our children with God's word to strengthen and protect them from temptation and lies. Christians can talk about this in a godly and edifying way. Not even be named here means these things such as sexual sins are so filthy and disgusting that you want to avoid to name it or to be exposed to it. As verse 4 said, they are out of place among children of God. Are you allowing yourself to be exposed to sexual immorality and impurity in some sensual TV shows or other forms of entertainment? Are you feeding them with your eyes, your mind, and your heart? Paul said they are not proper among saints, the beloved children of God, being set apart for God. Paul said, instead, let there be thanksgiving, because thanksgiving helps us to be grateful. To be grateful and content for what God has provided for me. Trusting God has provided the best for me as his very beloved child. This is a father's heart. Even earthly father is like that. How much more our good and loving Father, Heavenly Father, wants the best for us. Thanksgiving can help us to walk in purity, away from sexual immorality and impurity or covetousness. Verse 5 to 6. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Here, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. They are supposed to be beloved children of God. However, Paul has a warning for them to be sure of. This warning is that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that's idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Why God have this verse said by Paul for him to give such a warning? Because someone might have been deceived by empty words. They thought that even they are sexually immoral or impure or covetous, they can still inherit the kingdom of God when Christ returns or when they finish their earthly journey, whichever comes first. They might think like this. At a certain point of time in the past, I have made a sinner's prayer, so I have been saved and became a child of God. Even now I am sexually immoral and impure and covetous. My sins are forgiven and I am secured and can inherit the kingdom of God when I see God. Paul said, no. This is a deception. If you keep on sinning, bearing bad fruits without repentance, very probably the so-called faith you had in your sinner's prayer is just a dead faith which hadn't saved you in the first place. You are still son of disobedience, but not children of God. You need to repent from your sin today and trust Jesus as your personal Savior and King and follow Him today. Jesus can forgive you and cleanse you by His blood and save you. Like what the Corinthians experienced. Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. But Paul doesn't stop here. He continues in verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. No matter what sins we have, Jesus' saving grace is waiting and sufficient for us. But don't be deceived by empty words, as Paul warned the Ephesians. If you are struggling with sins and need help, don't give up. Please find experienced Christians to seek help and for them to pray with you. Jesus loves you and He can save you. He said in John chapter 6, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Let us now look at the last verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. In order to walk in purity, beloved children of God can't partner with those who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous. We need to carefully choose our friends or peers. Whom do we spend time with? Is your relationship with them hindering your walking in purity? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Sometimes we need to distance ourselves with some existing friends and establish some new friendship in order to walk in purity. Yes, we need to preach the gospel to non-Christian friends. But if our walking in purity is negatively impacted by our interaction with them, we need to ask, are we the suitable person to preach the gospel to them? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 to 22, Paul said this to his spiritual son Timothy. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who called on the Lord from a pure heart. To learn walking in purity, we can form friendship with those who call the Lord from a pure heart. We have looked at walking in love and walking in purity. Walking in purity can be considered as part of walking in love. When we walk in purity to avoid sexual immorality and covetousness, we are loving people around us, whom we relate to. We are edifying them, but not stumble them. As Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he said, the aim of our charge is love. So, walk in purity is also walk in love. Let us remind and encourage one another. The two first verses of this session we looked at. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So when we meet another brother or sister, we are reminded that I am a beloved child of God. And the brother or sister we meet is the beloved child of God. When we think of other brother and sister, we remember that they are beloved child of God. Let us learn to love one another. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much. We can be beloved children of God. We can be your beloved children. Lord, may this deeply impress in our heart, in our individual heart, so that every one of us who believes in you can say and very convinced that I am beloved child of God. So Lord, help us so that we can be secure in your love and we can imitate you to walk in love and walk in purity. Lord, help us to love one another as you loved us. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to speak your own words in our heart. Translate the words in your scripture in a living way in our hearts, so that we can be like you and we can love one another to glorify you as a fragrant offering to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.